Hey everyone, before you listen to this episode, I just wanted to remind you to join me every Friday for free. I give it for free for one reason. I want to make sure that everyone joins me on my mission to empower others to be happy. Join me for my free training every Friday. Hey everyone, it's Monday, so that means we are back with another episode of The Road to Revenue and Happiness. And today's is all about reinventing yourself and taking inventory. And we talk about the four things you need to take inventory of. Don't miss my free training this Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. You could text me always at 949-298-2905 or email me at david@dmeltzer.com or visit me at dmeltzer.com/training. This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook. Today it's going to be reinvent yourself, re-engineer, repurpose, restart. And I want to get going right away. We got a lot to cover today. The first thing that we have to do when we're coming into a transition is to look and to take inventory of everything. And I think that's an essential part and habit and discipline that you want to do. So the first thing that you want to take inventory when you're looking to re-engineer, transform, restart, or reinvent, which there's no better time than now to do, is to take inventory of your values. And there's four categories of values. There's your personal values, your health, your love, integrity, character, your family. There's your experiential values, which are critical every day to take inventory of those values of what do I actually want to learn today? What experiences do I want to have? There's giving values, which are also at one with receiving values, and determining how you want to receive and give and what that means to you and what's your relationship to giving and receiving and utilizing the three different worlds of not enough, just enough, or more than enough, and really determining where you're at. Take inventory, take your temperature of those values. Now, there's four values that I utilize in taking inventory. And the first value is gratitude. So gratitude gives you perspective when you're taking inventory. It allows you to see the light, the love, and the lessons in everything. It gives you the right, positive, expanding, accelerating perspective. The second is forgiveness. So as you're determining the inventory of your values, you're going to need to forgive yourself. Not only because of all the learning that you're doing, but the learning about others that you're doing. You're going to have to learn to give your forgiveness as well. Gratitude will give you perspective. Forgiveness will give you peace. And the more peace we have, the more frequency or higher frequency we'll be living at in neutral so that we can raise our awareness and make things simpler. That's why awareness is so important, because awareness allows things to look and perceive to be simple. The choices become obvious in our lives. We don't create interference, voids, or shortages. Worrying about things and creating arms and legs in situations that don't deserve them, just illusions. The third value is accountability. As we take inventory, we want to be accountable for where we're at. Accountable means what I did to attract this to myself. And two, what am I supposed to learn from it? Most people get confused about accountability with responsibility or liability. Responsibility and liability lie within this vibration, within this pragmatic world, right? You can get hit from behind in a car and be accountable and learn from why did I or this happened to me, but responsibility for damage still falls within the DMV or the motor vehicle code or whatever it may be, and liability itself. So make sure you distinguish that value. Now, the first thing that we want to take inventory of to restart, re-engineer, or repurpose is take inventory of your ideas. When we're taking inventory of our ideas, we start realizing what ideas are helping us and what ideas are hurting us, both in the conscious and the subconscious realm. Be very aware when you take inventory of what are the ideas that come every single day to me. Are they positive or negative? And what you want to start doing is practice siphoning or distinguishing those ideas so they're aligned with your gratitude, forgiveness, accountability, and inspiration. If you are taking inventory of your ideas and those ideas are creating interference and voids and shortages and obstacles in your life, cancel them. literally out loud, materialize the cancellation of them. Simply in your head, say cancel. Any thought that is not aligned with those values, with your values, cancel it. Don't allow it to continually seep into not only your conscious, the cellular memory that you have, but your subconscious. Don't allow it to infect your neural pathways, your actual habits and disciplines that are formed. Now, if an idea keeps on coming back, even after you cancel it, then you want to clear it, right? We want to clear those ideas. We want to clear it from our mind, and we want to breathe through our nose, out through our mouth, keep our spine vertical, but we want to clear those ideas. When we take inventory, if an idea is a one-time idea, we can cancel it. If it's a repetitive, destructive idea, right, we want to clear it. And so the last thing, which is a little bit more woo-woo, is the energetic side of what if an idea keeps coming back? It's so deep-rooted that it may be from generations handed down through my DNA, my quantum memory, or even if you believe in it, past lives. What do I do? Well, it's a longer journey, but you need to clear that energy. You need to connect. So what I do is I shut my eyes. I don't do this in front of other people, but I close my eyes and I envision the thing that's troubling the most. And it could be a person, place, or thing, something that has haunted me. Maybe I had blacked it out for years, but something that is deep rooted in my quantum memory, in my DNA. And what I do is I use gratitude, forgiveness, inspiration, and accountability. I find the light in that thing with my eyes closed. And then I cover that person or place or thing that's causing this disruption in my life, this negative energy, this negative feeling, this negative frequency. I cover it all up. And then I think about what I love the most, right? A family member, a situation experience, bananas, Foster's cheesecake, something that you really love. And take the light that's covering what you hate the most, that worries you the most, that's quantum in your being, and put that light over what you love the most. So now what you hate the most and what you love the most is covered by one big ball of light. And then take that light and cover it in your mind's eye with yourself, until you actually feel you are connected or your energy shifts. Keep on doing this day by day. If you cancel, clear, and connect, you can take inventory and reduce the negativity of the ideas that are perpetuating through your conscious, subconscious, and unconscious mind. These ideas are the ones that are infecting you and setting you in the wrong trajectory, in an ego-based trajectory that creates a void, shortage, and obstacles in your life. The second thing to take inventory of is time, right? So in a theoretical sense, the ideas, which are more ethereal, we have time, which is completely pragmatic. It's so pragmatic, it's a man-made construct. Everyone has 24 hours of time in one single day. And so I take inventory when I repurpose, re-engineer, reinvent, or restart of my time. And what I do is I take inventory of what I do every minute, every hour, every week, every month, every year. And of course, I prioritize it by what I'm doing every minute. And if I do it every minute, then I'm going to want to create the systems and efficiencies in order to save time. So the first way that I brought this up was I brush my teeth, floss my teeth, and take a swig of Listerine every day. And a lot of times I noticed that I wasted time because I usually do that one of the first things when I wake up in the morning, and I would daydream and look out, and it would take me longer than necessary. So I created a system, and it took me on average 6 minutes to brush my teeth, floss my teeth, and take a swig of Listerine. I decided I was going to cut it down to 2 minutes. Now that might not sound a lot, but I have a 4 minute strategy that changed my life because of it, because I was able to save 4 minutes a day in the way that I brush my teeth, floss my teeth, and take a swig of Listerine. What I realized was if I could save 4 minutes a day, I could save 28 minutes a week. I could save 2 hours a month, which became 24 hours a year. That's 3 full days of an average person's productivity, 3 days of 8 hours of productivity, simply by finding 4 minutes, by taking inventory of my time. And so now I look at everything in increments and starting to save through systems and process and habits and disciplines. How can I save 4 minutes or shave that off of things I do every minute, every hour, every day, every week, every month, etc.? And that exponentially allows me to be more efficient, effective, and statistically successful in what I do. I can give everyone also in a time inventory, if you're looking to restart, repurpose, re-engineer what we're doing here and take a new start, I'll give everybody 2 weeks of vacation today. On average, people spend 80 hours a year looking for things that they forgot or lost. Majority of that time today is spent trying to find your keys, your phone, and your wallet or purse. So today, take the time to take inventory of where you put your keys, where you put your wallet, purse, and where you put your phone. Make it the same place every time, and I've just saved on average most of you 80 hours, two full weeks of productivity that you can have back. This is a very important way to reinvent yourself. So many people are not productive. They don't provide value with their time. They're not accessible. They're not accessible to other or accessing what they want. And they're not gracious with their time. If you take inventory of your time, your ideas, and your values, you will exponentially and rapidly and accurately get what you want in a new start, a new inventory, a new engineering. The next one to take inventory is people. If you really want to repurpose your life, restart your life, re-engineer, reinvent yourself, you're the aggregate of the five people you spend the most time with. One of the hardest things to do is to reinvent yourself with the people that surround yourself. I've had to fire so many different friends of mine. And there's several ways of firing friends. One is directly, meaning going to friends, which I had to do back in 2006 because of a mandate made by my wife, because she saw what surrounding myself with the wrong people and the wrong ideas was doing to me. I have a favorite saying for my teenagers, which is, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. But I actually had to go and call some of my best friends and say, hey, I'm not going to be able to associate or hang out with you anymore. This isn't about you. This is about me and the things that I'm doing when I'm with you. I just wanted to let you know that I'm not going to be able to hang out or engage anymore. That's the most difficult way to fire friends. A lot of times we can just let the people that we don't want to be around, the people that are at a lower frequency, the people that may bring out the worst in us, not the superpowers in us, the people that we have nothing to learn from that are bleeding us, right? We let those people fade away. If they're feeding us, we feed them. If they bleed us, we have to let them fade away or fire them. Sometimes we're put in a situation with people that we are forced to be around them. They share a home with us or share an office with us. There's two different options of what we do there to surround ourselves and take inventory of those people. One is to understand where they're coming from. So understand where they're coming from and then pray for their happiness. Now, if you can't get alignment, if they continue to cause interference or corrosion to your light, love, and lessons, if they continue to create negativity for your new reinvented self, new repurposed self, then try to understand them. Run away while you're praying for their happiness. So stay as far away as you can, but be forcible about surrounding yourself with the right people. Go seek the people that you want to surround yourself with and be very aware of it. Your life will become much easier when those around you are elevating you, not dragging you down. The last inventory that you should take is an inventory of your possessions. This one's really interesting because so many people buy things they don't need to impress people they don't like. And I think it's really important to continually, if you're going to reinvent yourself, re-engineer who you are, repurpose yourself, take an inventory of what possessions that you have and see what you don't use. And set a time period. So for me, I have a 90-day time period of the things that I own. And if I see something that I own that I don't use within the 90-day period, I ask myself whether I want to keep it or not. And if I don't want to keep it, can I give it away or sell it, determined upon what the more benevolent thing to do or how I can afford and what I can afford to do. And so I think that's really important to clean out your life with a repurposing to get those things away from you that are just dragging you down, that are not elevating you as well, including you know, not just your clothes and your shoes and your closet and your garage and all those things, but also including your contacts. You know, one of the most powerful things that I do is I clean out my contacts now. So if somebody has not been in contact with me within the last 90 days, I look and see if I can clean them out or not. The funniest thing is when I clean out somebody that hasn't been in contact with me, those people that were bleeding me or dragging me down or manipulating, lying, overselling, back and selling, or cheating me seem to fall away. And the energy just doesn't even allow them to reach out. Whereas if I make a mistake, the coolest part is I've had people when I was cleaning out my phone, contacts that I had from 15, 20 years ago, I delete them. And within hours, they're texting me or calling me for the first time in 15 or 20 years. Now, I understand and believe that. You may or may not, but it's still a good practice if you're going to repurpose, re-engineer, restart your life to make sure that you're taking inventory of your values, utilizing gratitude, forgiveness, accountability, and inspiration. Your ideas, cancel, clear, and connect them. Your time, look for the 4 minutes. It'll save you 3 full days of productivity. The people that you surround yourself, whether you need to run away, but always understand if you need to fire friends, fade away, or run away, allow that to happen. Make sure you are around the highest frequency. Your best self will be served by better others. And then finally, your possessions, not just your clothes, your shoes, but also your people in your contacts. The second thing beyond taking an inventory that you want to do to restart, to reinvent yourself, is to seek what you want. Now, a lot of people don't understand this fully. They're always searching for their purpose. This is about re-engineering, repurposing, reinventing. I need to know my why. No. You need to know your what. And one of the examples that I have is I've always been someone that knew my what. And one of the what's that I wanted to seek was a Ferrari. And it's really interesting because I've learned more about myself from wanting a Ferrari. And I used to tell people as I got older, oh, you know, you don't want a Ferrari. And I've changed that. You do want a Ferrari. And you want a Ferrari and you want to learn how to get that Ferrari. You want to be clear about the Ferrari you want. You want to know what kind of wheels it has, what size of wheels it has, what color it is, how quickly the windows go up and down, every detail that you can, and balance that within your values. And when I say that, that's the most part, because we want to evolve in what we want. We want to evolve from what we want as well, meaning that we want to keep asking ourselves, you know, what are my personal values of wanting this Ferrari? Like for me, I was very clear and balanced on why I wanted a Ferrari, right? I wanted a Ferrari because I wanted everyone to know I was successful. I wanted my mom to be more proud of me. I wanted to drive up to business meetings and everybody say, oh, that's a guy I want to do business with. I wanted everybody to respect me. And I wanted to get more dates. I wanted women to love me and say, oh, this is an amazing guy to go out with. Now, lessons come and evolve. What I learned about it was the exact opposite. Well, first of all, extremely one thing I learned is if you drive them too much, they break down. And if you drive them too little, they break down. And they're extremely expensive when they break down. And you worry about your car more than you worry about yourself. You're afraid where to park it. If it gets scratched, it ruins your day. If it gets a door ding, it ruins your day. And it's super expensive to fix. And basically, the car is a pain in the butt. But even worse, nobody respects you for having the car. Majority of the people think you're an a-hole for having that car. And the people who do respect you are the ones that are going to bleed you and you don't want to be around anyway. So now you're using it as a magnet for people that you don't want to be around, which then goes exactly against the corresponding taking inventory of the people who are around you. You're going to attract the wrong people. And the worst part of all is it didn't get me any dates. In fact, I think it just revealed my true anatomy to the girls that I asked out. So projecting my insecurity. So these are the things that you can learn when you seek what you want. And most people don't do that. I ask them all the time, what do you want? I don't know. How are you going to get it then? You know what you're going to get from life? You're going to get a whole bunch of I don't know. Right? You're going to live a random life. That life of the law of randomness. I don't know. Seek what you want. Use clarity, balance, and focus. Understand your values and ask yourself, why do I want it? At least I was honest with myself with the Ferrari. I asked myself why I wanted it. I evolved. Now I know why I don't want it. And it was funny because I did buy a second Ferrari, and my kids hated me for buying it because I never brought it home, because the reason that I bought it was to flip it, because I bought it at an auction and the impact I wanted was to make money. And the capabilities that I had was I had access to somebody that desperately needed to get rid of it. I had the capability of having the money to buy it and the capability of selling it and pre-selling it. So look at the why, the reasons that you want it, the impact you believe it's going to have in your life, and the capabilities that it's going to give you. Seek your what first when you're taking inventory to reinvent yourself, re-engineer, repurpose yourself. Think about what it is. Get clear, balanced, and focused. The next thing to consider is to seek your who. Once again, most people want their why. It's seek your what and then seek your who. So if you know what you want, the easiest way to get what you want is find somebody that already has it and ask them either for it or how to get it. Depending on what it is, ask them, can I have it or can you teach me how to have it? That is literally the simplest way. People waste so much time, energy, and emotion. They do not reinvent themselves, repurpose, or re-engineer themselves because they're afraid to ask who. In my life, I always have now at least three people that sit in the situation that I want to be in or have something that I want that either they can give me or teach me how to get. Fastest way. I don't have to pay any dummy tax. I don't have to have any learning curve. I simply either can get it from them or they can show me step by step, this is how you get it. I've already spent 1 month, 1 year, 1 decade, 1 century getting it. But I've learned all those lessons. This is the fastest way. And most people don't seek who it is. They don't even know what it is, so they're in the law of randomness, but they don't seek who it is. And if you seek who it is, I'll give you an example. One of my mentors, I wanted to build a brand for myself, a digital brand for myself. So I went to who I thought did the best job of doing that in the entrepreneurial space, which was Gary Vaynerchuk. And I asked him, how do you do it? Can you help me? And so Gary's been my mentor for 3.5 years since I started. And I've been mentoring them in the sports agency business in the same exact way, because he carries the same radical humility of knowing what he doesn't know. One of my favorite things about something I learned from him as a mentor is that I used to give myself too much credit without being humble, that I knew at least a little bit about almost everything. And I love the way that he has taught me to say, I don't know. Right? And the more that I say I don't know, the more I realize what I don't know, which makes it more important to seek what I want and seek who can get it for me or teach me how to get it. The second person, and most important for me, prioritized what I wanted, was I wanted to sleep better. I realized that sleep is the number one habit that we all share. On average, most people spend about 8 hours doing it. But why it's so important is it's the only time that my ego really is out of my own way, meaning it's a time where I should not be creating interference and voids and shortages consciously with any insecurity from the greatest connection of source lights and lessons that I'm connected to. So I looked up the best sleep coach in America, Dr. Mita Singh, who coached the Nationals to their World Series, the only team ever to win 4 road games. They all too and gave her a World Series ring because they were so rested for the first time on a road trip during a big game, handling their emotions, etc. She is an extraordinary coach who has helped me so much with one third of my life, simply by understanding simple things, not only pragmatic things like what temperature, covers, bed softness, brands, etc., but also just understanding diet and light and travel and nuances of adjustment. I ask her for what I want, and she teaches me how. From her years and years of experience, I couldn't go to med school for 12 years to learn about sleep. I don't have time. But I simply ask her what she has learned, and she teaches me. The third one is understanding the brain as a muscle. And so John Assaroff, Mr. Inner Size, my love, Goya brother, is my mentor to teach me how the brain works, how to work out the brain, how to strengthen the brain, expand and accelerate what I'm trying to do with my brain the same way I do with their body. And it's been exceptional. I could not spend 50 years studying the brain like he has and understanding what he does, but it's so much easier just to seek him and what he knows. The fourth person is meditation coach. Meditation is probably one of the most crucial things, especially because I believe I'm a ferocious Buddha. I'm ferocious about learning with the people above how to stop what I'm an ego-based consciousness when I have the need to be right, offended, separate, inferior, superior, angry, anxious, frustrated, guilty, all of those different things that we feel that create corrosion or interference to this great feeling of happiness, to this great accelerator that we exist in. And so I got a coach to teach me how to meditate and also to be a quantum healer, to heal myself so that I can be happy and healthy. Two things that are closely tied together, two of the most important personal values that I have. And as I take inventory of it and I see the value. And then finally, most recently, I got the people at Kenzai to mentor me on full wellness, on a full body approach, a daily routine. I spend a minimum of an hour a day on my health. I wanted to have a routine that I could do for the rest of my life, not just when I'm 52, but when I'm 102 or 111, something I could do every single day. And so those people at Kenzai have helped me. Five different mentors that I have to specifically seek not only what I want, but they are who I want to get it from, that have already paid the dummy tax, the situational knowledge experience, that it would take sometimes lifetimes or multiple lifetimes for you to acquire. Finally, remind yourself, there is only one why. I know a lot of people are sitting there going, oh, he never mentioned why. You know, taking inventory of your why, your purpose. This is about re-engineering, reinventing yourself, repurposing. Where's the why? Remind yourself there's only why, one why. You don't have to take inventory of it. Everybody's why, inherent in their conscious, subconscious, and unconscious being, is to be of service, to serve, to help somebody or something. When you determine your what and your who, it'll be applied to that why in a variant of degrees. And people will tell you, oh, you're so lucky because you have your purpose. You're so passionate. You love what you do. No, I just know and seek my what and I seek my who. And I take inventory of my values to align my what and who so that I can live a life of why, live a life of service. You know, just to finish up here in the last minute, then we'll take some Q&A. Money, right? Money is a lot of the inventory, the what and the who. And it used to be my thermostat. I identified, defined, and sought how much money I could have. I used to give more money so I could get more from people. Acknowledgement, more money, reward, whatever it was. It was always a trade. And once I changed my inventory, right? I reinvented myself in 2006 to not live for money. Money does not buy happiness or love. It allows me to shop for what I want in order to make other people happy. And my main mission switched, knowing and taking inventory of my values, ideas, time, people, possessions, to seek what I want and who I want it from, to accelerate and grow as fast as I can, to empower others, to find 1,000 of you. And now I think thousands of us have registered for this training. Record day. So thank you very much, everyone, to empower 1,000 people, to empower 1,000 people to be happy. Together over my lifetime, these trainings will help empower over 1 billion people to create a collective consciousness to change the thermostat of our world from finance into happiness. Remember, happiness is the greatest disease. It's viral. It spreads simply by witnessing it. It'll strengthen you mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. It'll actually strengthen your immune system, so it'll protect you against all other viruses. I want to thank everybody. I wish you the best of luck reengineering, reinventing, and repurposing your life by taking inventory of your values, ideas, time, people, possessions, seeking what you want, seeking who you want it from, and most importantly, elevating others to elevate yourself. Thank you so much. Let's jump into the Q&A. Really appreciate it. How do you know it's the right time to reinvent yourself? Well, in its own essence, to reinvent yourself should be a daily activity, right? I always say take inventory every single day and don't be afraid to be a hypocrite. Those people that are afraid to be a hypocrite are stuck, you know, well, what are the people I went to high school going to say now? This isn't who I was supposed to be. This isn't what I told them in high school I was going to be. This isn't what I was, you know, going to impress my parents. Take inventory every day. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to be a hypocrite. Change your mind. Change your values. Change your life. Change your mindset. Change your life. Change your heart set. Change your life. But none of it's going to change unless you take inventory of those things that I told you to do. I believe it's a continual process of evolution, acceleration, and growth that every day I'm repurposing, reinventing, reengineering, and restarting. Every single day that I'm blessed. That's why gratitude is so important. That if we have perspective of the genesis of every day, that we have perspective that each day holds a lottery ticket. Each day to me is like a bank card that's filled to the rim with money, and I have no guarantee that it's going to be there tomorrow morning. And so I'm going to live my life efficiently, effectively, with statistical success, geared to help other people in a world of more than enough, an abundant world to come through me for others. Use that bank card to the most, to the maximum, and don't worry about whether it'll be filled tomorrow or not. Every single day, take inventory and re-engineer, reinvent yourself. Don't be afraid. Next one. As a consultant, Ellen, by the way, as a consultant with a specific expertise, how do I monetize my time / requests from the tech or corporate clients that seek my input for product development or design? Well, first of all, we need to prioritize opportunities determinative upon how we monetize those opportunities. And so there's two ways to monetize an opportunity as a consultant. One is by hours. And if you're going to monetize an opportunity by hours, then you're going to be stuck in the man-made construct of time because there's only 24 hours in a day. And most people won't accept you billing them more than 24 hours for a day. So you're limited, in other words, to how much you can make. Unless, of course, just real quickly, my favorite lawyer joke is that lawyer goes to heaven and there's like this huge celebration and has like this huge home and everyone else goes like, why is everybody so excited? And God comes down himself. He's like, I don't understand. Why do I get this? I'm just like a 50-year-old lawyer that died of a heart attack. And God said, no, you're not 50. You're 164. You're the oldest person to ever live. And he's like, what are you talking about? I'm 50. He goes, not according to your billables. So you get my point. You can only charge 24 hours in a day unless you're that lawyer that lies, which I don't think I know any lawyers that would lie about how much time they're billing you at. Do you? Anyway, the second way to bill, Ellen, is value-based billing. It's the way that I've learned to work over the last 14 years. The reason I only work month to month with people, the reason I guarantee only one thing, profitability. I believe in quantitative value in my services, in my value that I provide, not subjective value. So subjective value, as you know, is the purple dinosaur value. Go back and watch my video. You don't want to hear me sing again, the Barney song. But basically, people just give hugs and nobody makes money. But you can listen to the song later. Value bill and guarantee profitability, work month to month, mitigate all risk. Can you see any reason that they wouldn't want to move forward? If you're a consultant in any space, corporate, tech, science, med tech, fintech, it doesn't matter. You should be able to quantify and articulate the quantification of how much value you're providing. I stick to 120 rule where I want to provide $100 worth of value and only ask for $20 for that $100 value. Therefore, most people can't see any reason they won't want to move forward, especially because I guarantee it and don't lock them in with any subjective value. Very important lesson, good question. Iqbal, thank you. How about the people that dragging you down are those that you work your ass off to make their life better? How can you navigate that? First of all, let's recognize that you have a need to be offended. We should not be working our asses off for anyone other than ourselves to come through us for others to make us feel good. right? You're creating resentment and offense in a situation with people it seems like you care about because you want to make their life better. That is your enjoyment, not the acknowledgement or the recognition that you've made their life better. And when you detach your emotions from that outcome, you will feel better. You'll be more productive and accessible and happy, and so will they. And what will happen is you'll relieve the interference, resentment, and resistance that you've created, and most likely you'll end up getting more acknowledgement and recognition when you let that go. It's amazing technology in the universe that happens. And that's one of, and if I speak from great wisdom on this, it's because I have great experience of it. It was amazing my whole life. I never thought anybody appreciated me. My mom, my siblings, everybody, I would list out all the things that I did and how hard I worked and this. And then I changed my philosophy. I don't work hard. I have activity I get paid for and activity I don't get paid for. I have activity I get paid for to receive as much as I can to bring joy to the people I love. I don't work my ass off and not get appreciated or recognized. I am efficient, effective. I create and have activity I get paid for. I receive so I can give, because giving is the greatest joy that you can have. I receive so I can give. I don't give so I receive, right? That's the attitude that you're taking. When you have an expectation that you deserve acknowledgement or recognition for helping or working your ass off, first of all, you should learn to love what you do so you're not working your ass off. You are excited about finding the light, the love, and the lessons in everything that you do, even the stuff that you don't like doing, you learn to love it. And then you'll receive more and then be able to give more unconditionally without judgments and conditions or attaching your emotions to an outcome so you have no resentment or offense, which now makes you happier, more productive. You'll end up receiving more and the whole thing continues. This, in essence, is actually showing you pragmatically what the world of more than enough is, what being in the flow is. But most people, what they like to do is they like to create resistance and voids and shortages and obstacles and then tell themselves that they're a superhero and knit themselves a goddamn cape because they're working their ass off for people that don't acknowledge or recognize or appreciate them. I live that life. It doesn't work. Good question. Thank you, Iqbal. Jordan. Hi, David. What criteria, in your opinion, makes for a good podcast co-host? Also, what advice do you have in stop using filler words when public speaking? Thank you so much. So let me take the second question first. Practice, practice, practice. Right? If you say, or tell me, or a variety of things, you should be videotaping yourself, and public speaking is speaking. I started with the acknowledgement of what... Can I clap in front of a million people? Yes. Do I get nervous clapping in front of a million people? No. Why? Because I'm good at it. I've practiced a lot in my life. I'm really good at it. I'm 100% confident. Even if I'm like this, I wouldn't be embarrassed, right? I did it again. Why? Because I practice. Do the same thing with speaking. If there's areas of your speaking that you don't like, if you don't have the right intonation, connotation, if you don't have the right tone, if you get nervous, nerves are just a matter of you haven't practiced enough. Practice, practice, practice. You'll get rid of that. Now, this first question is what makes a good co-host on a podcast? It depends on what your personality is. So I would look for people that are synergistic, supplementary, and complement your personality, your knowledge. Look and see, like I said, seek who does it the way that you want to do it. So if you find a personality that's very successful, that's similar to yours, and they have a co-host that they're successful with, find someone who has those capabilities, skills, and knowledge, and ask them to be your co-host. It's all determined upon independent and dependent variables of knowing or seeking what you want from your podcast. Right? For me, I had a sports show with Gal Media, Sports Blender, and I had a New York Yankee famous guy for a reason, and then a great producer / host that was a director, and he was amazing. Angels radio guy, Jason Brennan, he's an extraordinary guy, and it all fit together perfectly, right? And we all were completely different. But I sought out who I want for what I wanted. It won't happen unless you take inventory. Good. Blaine, are there any people who have reinvented themselves who you think are good examples to follow? Oh, yeah. I mean, gosh. Look at any of the great athletes, celebrities, entertainers that have made major comebacks in reinventing themselves of what they've done. I'm just trying to think of a really good example in what's his name from Captain America, or what's I know Blaine's on the other line. Anyway, Robert Downey Jr. Thank you. You know, people like Robert Downey Jr. are, you know, that have to reinvent themselves and end up. Mike Tyson, thank you. Another great example. People learn. You know who? Let me use my favorite example, Lee Steinberg. Right? I literally had with Warren had to leave the firm, and you know, nobody's reinvented himself better than Lee Steinberg, and now represents Mahomes and Juju and Tua, and you know, literally was almost homeless when we left with the terrible disease of alcoholism, and he's reinvented himself. So just taking inventory, improving, knowing your values. Max, I'm in insurance sales. How do I grow to 100,000 a year? First of all, Max, think big. Don't ever say $100,000 a year. What are you talking about? How I'm in insurance sales. How can I double the amount of money I make as fast as I can? I want to make a minimum of $100,000 a month, a day. I don't care, but make it a minimum and make time as an expedient to what you're doing. I'm going to tell you, if you're in insurance sales, you need to ask how many people a day in person on the phone via email and media, radio, print, and TV, how you can be of value or service, and ask, do you know anyone that can help me in person on the phone via email, social media, et cetera. You need to ask and you need to practice selling, how to stimulate interest, how to transition interest, how to share a vision, how to manage and develop that vision. You need to find a mentor, find the guy who's the top insurance salesperson that you know and ask to shadow him, then ask to work with him, and then ask him to shadow you. And just through that process alone, you will gain so much situational knowledge, experience, and dummy tax that you will double the amount of money that you're making as quick as you can. And make sure you don't limit yourself ever. Think much bigger than that. How can I sell a minimum of $100,000 in a faster time period? All right, Max, and you're Warren, welcome. Reach out to me anytime, david@dmeltzer.com. That's an area that I can help you with and find mentors or give you guidance or coaching on as well to give you straight profitability. No problem. It's just a numbers game. It's math. It's practice. You can do it. All right, Leanne, best book on being a light worker. and I assume a light worker is somebody that works in the higher frequency, that type of light. Because if it was like screwing in light bulbs, I probably wouldn't be able to help you as much, or some electrician. I think still Course in Miracles, Wayne Dyer, Power of Intention, two of my favorite books about understanding light. I think Course in Miracles is probably the best. Historically, I read all religious texts, so Old Testament, New Testament, Kabbalah, all great light texts. Which allows you to have the perspective historically of how human nature is connected to or creates interference to that light, and how that light comes through you and how powerful that light is. These are all the lessons, but those are some great books that you could read. How do you find the strength to start over? Hey, there's a great question. So now we're getting into the difference back to motivation versus inspiration. Starting over takes a lot of strength. I have this new concept that I stole from somebody in one of my podcasts, and I forget who it is, but she was amazing. And she said, the first 10 minutes suck. So, you know, I've been running almost every day, and the first 10 minutes every single day, sometimes it sucks more than others, but the first 10 minutes are just hard. to start anything, let alone start over with a historical context that you may not have reached your potential and you've put in all this effort and you may not be able to perceive because your senses aren't as enlightened as you want or your memory's not as good. So now it just exacerbates the situation how much the first 10 minutes suck. And so in order to start over, you need to take inventory, right? You need to take inventory of your values. You need to remind yourself that the first 10 minutes are going to be hard of this, but I'm not going to quit. I got a must be what I can be attitude. I know I'm going to enjoy the consistent, everyday, persistent without quit pursuit of my potential. And I'm going to make it through these first 10 minutes because I'm going to seek what I want and I'm going to seek who already has it and I'm going to ask them for it. And if I don't ask them for it, I'm going to ask them how to get it and they're going to help me. And I know that I'm going to apply that what and who to my why, which is to be of service. And it's going to evolve into what other people call a passion or learning to love what I do. And so you got to be able, if you can look up, you can get up. You got to be motivated. Know that motivation will get you up. Inspiration will get you there. But you got to be motivated. Put yourself into the mindset that the first 10 minutes are going to suck. So I'm going to take inventory, remind myself what I'm doing, who's going to help me, and why I'm doing it to allow it to come through me for others. Huna, how much studying is too much? Well, first of all, let's define studying. Studying is a mathematical equation to me. Studying takes a habit of being more interested than interesting, and it's the matter of putting your attention to, right? And giving intention. So attention plus intention. What's intention? Intention is the aggregate of what we think, say, do, believe, and the unconscious competencies of our personality traits, characteristics, obsessions, and addictions, our unconscious competency of what's quantum in our nature. You can activate and deactivate through the epigenetic layers of your DNA in order to find things that you don't even know are existing in you in this world and more than enough. But how much studying is too much? Never enough. I am a firm believer that when you study what you want, that's why I study my calendar, because I want the most out of my 24 hours, the pragmatic man-made construct that I'm given. And I know the only way that I can get the most out of every single day, my bank card, using all the money I can that I'm given on my bank card, use all of it to the best I can. I'm given a bank card with everything on it every single day. And most people don't even spend 10% of their account. I'm not guaranteed that bank card's going to have anything on it tomorrow. I got to study my calendar. I got to study what I have planned, what I don't have planned in my sleep. I got to pay attention to and give intention to the coincidences I want. Attention plus intention is a mathematical occurrence of coincidence. Coincidence is when two things coincide together in a perfect way, at a perfect place, at a perfect time. That's what I want in my life. That's why people call me lucky. I'm just coincidental. Attention plus intention. Study, study, study. I actually study when to study. I have two periods in the day, from 5:30 into 6:30 when I study, and then 5:30. And then 7:30 to 9 o'clock at night in my normal routine, not my adaptable one. All right, next question, Eddie. What's the name of the person who helps you understand and exercise the brain? John Assaroff. He's also the man that taught me the law of Goya, which is the first law in order to get to the law of attraction, which means get off your ass. Do not sit at home high on your mom's couch. It's not going to work. You'll be sick and broke as fast as you think you can. Get off your ass. Seek what you want. Seek who has it. Ask them for it or ask them to teach you how to get it. And that will evolve into your passion or your why. And remember, there's only one question of why. Remind yourself, there's only one why. That's to be of service, according to what you want and who can give it to you or help you get it. But John Assaroff, Inner Size is his book. Highly recommend it. Highly recommend him. He's amazing. Sir, what's the first thing when you woke up this morning? I meditate. The first habit I have and first step of meditation to me is to be grateful. So I just list out what I'm thankful for. That's the last thing that I think. I have a wind down routine at 9 o'clock. I know I have one of my favorite interns in here. She's watching live, Tessa, that tell you it was 8:15. I go to bed, but I don't. My wind down starts at 9, not 8:15. 9 o'clock at night, I have a wind down routine and it starts with gratitude. If you want to change your life, 30 days on average, I'm challenging you right now. Go ahead, text me if you can get this done. I will send you my book for free. I'll do it anyway. You can see there's the text number and the email address, 949-298-2905. David@dmelcher.com. I'll send you my book for free. But say thank you before you go to bed and when you wake up for 30 straight days. I guarantee it changes your life. I guarantee it changes your life. I also guarantee that half of you tonight, by the time you get home, won't say thank you. And I'll guarantee by morning, another half of you won't say thank you. In 3 days, most of us won't say thank you. Even though I've studied physics, quantum physics, metaphysics, I've made hundreds of millions of dollars in my life, all through gratitude. I have the world thought leaders reaffirming, from Deepak Chopra to Jack Canfield to John Assaroff to Sharon Lecter to Mary Morrissey, all of them agreeing that thankfulness and gratitude are the most powerful concept ever created, but yet none of us will even say thank you. I'm challenging you right now. Change your life. Say thank you. So that's the first thing I do in the morning. Then I meditate for 20 minutes to find my highest frequency, to find my baseline so that I can plateau and grow. I'm not going to live the myth of Sisyphus. I'm not going to push a boulder up to the top of the hill every single day just to let it roll down at night. I'm going to plateau and grow, to find my frequency, use it as a baseline to know when I'm on the right trajectory, to be a ferocious Buddha when the ego puts me all the way back into the wrong direction or creates resistance voids and shortages. Robert, I believe that we are all successful in some areas of our lives. I believe we're all successful in all areas of our lives. We just have more quantum potential than in some areas than others. Do you believe if we focus on how we became successful in those areas, that we can apply those same principles, intention, creativity, and energy to be successful in anything we choose? To a degree, you can be successful if you determine your success as the enjoyment of the consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential. So, for example, I wanted to be a successful football player. My quantum potential is lower than, let's say, my business partner, Hall of Fame quarterback Warren Moon. So I applied the principles that I learned of being consistent, persistent, enjoying that pursuit, of having the right habits and disciplines, doing certain things, time management, all these different things. But in the end, the closest to my potential I could come after 22 years was to be an average Division III football player compared to a Hall of Fame record-holding quarterback. I don't know if that's success or not, but what I do know is when I applied those to things that I'm really good at, not throwing a football, but let's say selling or scaling a business or raising money or executive coaching or speaking or writing books or podcasts or movies or TV, when I applied those same disciplines, I came equally as close to my potential as I did in football, but I had a much higher potential in each of those areas than I do playing football. And so, yes, those are what you use, your skills, your knowledge, and your desire. And certain skills are synergistic and supplementary to certain things. Certain knowledge is synergistic and supplementary to certain things, but the desire that you must be what you can be to enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential is innate in being the best that you can be without voting for what others want for you, but voting for what you want in your life to elect what you want to happen in your life, the coincidences that you want. In this current climate of a lot of people are waking up and starting over, what advice would you give them to find their voice? Take inventory, right? It's exactly what we're talking about today. If you take inventory of your what, take inventory of your who, then your voice will come out of that. Allow yourself to be a hypocrite. Your voice will change. It will evolve. It will grow. It'll be enhanced. You will strengthen your signal, widen your spectrum, and clear your message. But you have to stay focused on taking inventory and executing upon that inventory. Hoda, how to build my brand? Steps, please. So building your brand, number one, is to create a quality content. And so allow your brand to evolve by frequently posting your content, your authentic brand, whatever that may be, product solution, service, personal, it doesn't matter. You need to be consistent and persistent in posting and growing that brand, allowing the frequency, the strength of your signal to expand, the spectrum to grow, meaning the different demographics, the audience to grow, and it will only occur if you get a clearer message. So you need to continually hone and practice and amplify the message. So you'll learn to capture the message better, modify the message according to where you're going to amplify the message, and then also create a strategy for perpetuating the message. Because as your frequency, your authenticity of your brand reaches more and more people, a lot of the stuff that you did years ago will now have a different meaning. If anyone's read a book like The Course in Miracles, for example, which I've now read for 4.5 years, every time I read it, it takes a different meaning. Same with Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich. It will take on different meanings. Michael, my company is currently in the raising fund stage of a startup lifestyle brand. What is the best strategy to go about taking inventory and using self-awareness to choose which tasks to outsource and which to take ourselves on a daily basis? So the inventory is resources and understanding the math of the execution of those resources. So what I would do in that situation is take inventory of the resources that we have, the skills, the knowledge, and the desire, and determine if and how much it costs in order to effectuate it ourselves comparatively to outsourcing it. And when we prioritize those resources as well, that'll be a key indicator as well on which way to go, whether to do it yourself or to outsource it. It's all math. It's just organizing the inventory of resources, people, expense, all the different variables that you may have. And a lot of times I'm using simple pen to paper in order to chart out matrices that create value so that I can say to myself, can I see any reason I wouldn't want to outsource this? Or can I see any reason that I won't want to do it myself? Or do I see any reason that I won't want to hire someone internally to do it? All right, David. Hello, David. All right, hello, David. I've contacted you through Instagram. I'll keep it short. I'm trying to come and work in USA. If not per sponsored visa, then per 3 months basis. Was wondering if there's a chance I could learn and work for you during my time there. Yes, there is a chance. There's a chance of everything. Please send me a resume and let me know when you get here. We have a variety of internships and would love to have you intern for 3 months according to what you want, who we have here to help, and the why that applies or applicable or aligned to that. Does that sound fair? Next question, Julian, is reinventing yourself the same thing, same as evolving, or just part of the process? Both. Reinventing yourself is evolving, right? It's to determine on how drastic of a growth or acceleration or of a change that you make. And it's absolutely part of the process of enjoying the consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential. Last question. Can you repeat the connection / difference of knowing your what and knowing your why? Yeah. So what is based on clarity, balance, and focus? Clarity of what you want, balancing your values and getting focused in on it. And the why is why do I want it, applicable to who or what you want to be of service to. And so those are interrelated, but you need to know your what to figure out who can help you to expedite or accelerate it, which is then applicable to those values of why or who you're going to be of service or what you're going to be of service to, because that's what truly makes people happy is receiving to give. Feel free to come back. I'll give you the name of the 5 mentors, david@dmeltzer.com. My text number is 949-298-2905. If you want the worksheet for today of reinventing yourself, the exercise, it's free. Please email me directly, david@dmeltzer.com. Text me for it. That's fine. 949-298-2905. We're not selling anything. So please email me, text me, come every Friday, invite your friends. The numbers keep growing. We really appreciate you. Remember, have a wonderful weekend. Be kind to your future self and do good deeds. Hey, podcast listeners. Thank you for listening as always to today's episode. I know you've been enjoying the Road to Revenue episodes. They are downloading at record paces, and I am so grateful for you joining me, not only on the podcast, but live every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you email me at david@dmeltzer.com. @dmeltzer.com or text me at 949-298-2905. Thank you so much.